In life, things happen to us. You know, I recall a time when I was at high school, didn't do too well. I failed, and then I repeated, and I failed again. And eventually I was able to, you know, it was possibly one of the most difficult times, even though it was many years ago, of my life, where things just weren't working the way that I wanted them to work. And so I remember the second time, to pass your O-levels in Zimbabwe, you had to get five O-levels. So the first time, I think I had about four. Then that was the first time. Then the second time, when I repeated again, I went to collect my result slip. And the funny thing is that the first time I went to collect my results, my uncle said to me, "Oh, you're going to come back with all the A's." You know, and I thought, "Ooh, I wish," you know. And so unfortunately, I didn't come back with all good grades. The second time, I went to collect my results slip, and I remember counting 1, 2, 3, 4 subjects I had passed. And I looked for the fifth subject, and I couldn't find it on the slip, you know. And I thought to myself, how do I go and explain myself to my father that I failed again? You know, and so that was, I had to muster up the courage to go to him and say, "Look, I failed." And I recall he said this to me, "Are you a failure?" You know, and I think out of not wanting to feel a bit of pride, I responded to him and I said, "No, I'm not a failure." You know, and then what happens is sometimes is that when we go through things, we end up just beginning to identify with those things that, you know, might have hurt us along the way. And it's quite easy, even though I had mouthed to this, to my father, that, "Look, I'm not a failure," you know, I sure felt like one, you know. But what happens, you see, is that after a while, after meeting up with setback after setback, it's quite easy for you to identify with that failure. And so you then begin to have a mindset that no matter what happens in life, or if anything is going to happen that is wrong, it's most likely going to happen to me. And so perhaps one time or another in your life, you have faced a situation where things do not go the way that you had wanted them to go or intended. You know, a marriage gone bad, business failure, people hating on you, you know. Things, it seems that doors are just being closed. Wherever you go, the doors are just closing. And so life happens, you know, and we don't get what we want the first time. And sometimes we find ourselves in situations that are not our own doing, where other people have caused hurt to come upon us, you know. So where we are born with a limp, we are born with something that just identifies us, where, you know, people start to tease us for whatever that particular thing is. Or we get a diagnosis that we didn't expect, you know. Or we are told that, you know, you get to work and you're told your job is finished, there's nothing for you here. And so what do we do in a situation like that when things don't go the way that we want them to go? Do we just shrug up our shoulders? Do we just shrug our shoulders and say, well, you know, whatever negative thing is happening in my life, I'm going to accept it? Or do we make a decision in that moment to remain determined? And I think that I want us to think this morning is that, imagine the possibilities of our lives if we remain determined, even though things are not going the way that we want them to go. Even though all along the way, you know, we have begun to drag all those negative things that have occurred to us in our lives, and we begin to use those things as an identifier of who we are. You know, that day, if we recall the story of Bartimaeus, you know, it says that there were hundreds in that crowd that day in Jericho. You know, all of these people had needs. Many of them had urgent needs, but only one of them had the audacity to speak and ask for help from the prophet or from Jesus that everybody had come to see. You know, Bartimaeus had been blind, and his name was Timaeus. Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus, which his father's name was Timaeus. And so if we picture the story that back in those days to have a son was a good thing, was a very good thing, that your status in life as a woman and as a man would be elevated because you had a son born to you. So you hear the news, Bartimaeus and his wife had the news that, okay, she's going to give birth. There would have been great excitement in that household that, you know what, God has blessed us. So many good things are going to happen to us. The father would be happy and brimming with confidence. Then the child was born to great joy in that household. But soon, that excitement turned to despair when they found out that Bartimaeus was blind, you know? And you can imagine that in those days, to have somebody that was disabled, you know, that had a limp or was blind, was not viewed as a good thing. It was either seen as you've been cursed by God, that you guys must have done something wrong. That's why you get a child like that. And then we have Bartimaeus begging. That's the only thing that he could do. There's nothing else that he could do with his life. And what they did in those days is that the government, you know, would give them a cloak that they would wear. You know, and the cloak was used as an identifier that it's all right, this is the license for this man to beg. You know, he'd obviously use that to keep warm on a day like this when it was raining. Also, he would use it to throw maybe as a mat, sit on it, and then people would come and throw their money at him as they're going by. And so this man is living a life where he's dependent on other people to provide for him. And so he had to deal with people's expectations of him. You know, the moment they would see the coat, the gray coat, they would say, oh, you know who that is? That's Bartimaeus. That is all he will ever be in life. He's never going to be anything more than a beggar. He's never going to be anything more than the way that he is now. And so all of a sudden, he had to deal with people's low expectations of him. They didn't expect anything positive to come from Bartimaeus' life. You know? And he had the coat to prove it. So you can imagine that even himself, when he was talking to himself, he would be like, you know, woe is me. You know, I've been given this coat as the authority to allow me to beg. There must be something wrong with me. God, why did you let me be born like this? It would have been better if I was not born, because then I wouldn't have to endure the things that people say about me, the ridicule, you know. But perhaps, you know, I don't know whether blind people got married in those days. So there was all those low expectations that he had to deal with. And you know what happens to some of us in our lives as we begin to move in our lives? Things begin to happen to us and we begin to drag the coat of people's expectations over our lives. And we begin to use that as an identifier of who we are. You know, we have failures in our life. We have setbacks, failed marriages. You know, people saying that, you know, you will never get married. You will never have a child. You will never amount to anything. You're not going to get healed. You know, you've tried, you've come to the Lord many times when you're sick and nothing has happened. And all of a sudden, the talk in your mind is that, what's the point of coming? You are never going to get healed. And so we began to drag the expectations, the failures, the things that we feel God has not done in our lives. And we begin to use those as an identifier of who we are in Christ. All of a sudden, we have this coat that we wear. You know, you're struggling with a secret sin, you know, that only you and God know. And you keep dragging it. Am I ever going to be free from this thing? You know, am I ever going to be free? You begin to sort of like say, how can it be that a man of whatever age you are, you know, 42 years old, 50 years old, why is it that I'm struggling with this thing? You know, you are held back by life's regrets, because what tends to happen is that along the way of life, you meet calamity, a loved one passes away, you get divorced, and all of a sudden we begin to regret the things we should have done, we could have done, but we never did. All of a sudden we began to drag these things and they begin to identify with us. We begin to be like Bartimaeus, although he wore the coat because he was blind. We, because of the things that we've gone through, we begin to identify with all those things, and those things begin to hold us back. So you can imagine what the type of self-talk when people have got low expectations of who you can become in your life, what it would have been like for that man. Nobody thought he would do much. He was going to be keep, you know, every day he had to be led by somebody else. You know, he had to be led by somebody else to beg. And those people would then, you know, whatever they would say to him. So I can just want to, I want to picture myself like Bartimaeus, how I would feel. I would want to feel a bit sorry for myself. Because I'd be like, man, you know, what have I done? I've tried to do the right thing. I'm trying, Lord, but nothing is happening. I'm trying to do the right thing, but each turn that I take, things don't go the way that I expect them to go. And so what's the point? Why should I keep keeping on? Why should I keep, you know, having my faith, you know, or raising my hope and my expectations all for those, all, only for them to fall flat to the ground? But we can learn something from Bartimaeus. You see, your faith needs to speak up. You need faith that speaks up. Because a silent conviction alone would not have done the trick for Bartimaeus. You know, he could have just believed in his heart and said, oh, look, there's Jesus Christ going by. Maybe, you know, I will just sort of like say the Lord's Prayer in my heart, and then everything is going to be okay. But he didn't. He recognized that I have the opportunity here of a lifetime. Now, I bet you, whilst he was begging, he would have heard the stories of people talking about this Jesus Christ, that he can do great things, you know, for you. He has done, he's healed many people. And so you need to understand that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And this is going to be the last time that he would pass through Jericho. And we know that from that moment, possibly a week or 2 weeks later, Jesus was crucified, and then he died, and then he rose again. What are you going to do when Christ comes and gives you the opportunity, the same opportunity that Bartimaeus had? Are you going to say, what's the point? You know, I've tried so many times, but nothing has happened. Or are you going to believe again and say, you know what, Lord? This is my opportunity. This is my opportunity for me to let go of those things that have held me back. Your faith needs to take initiative. You see, he had to be boisterous and outrageous. Because he is blind, he cannot walk. He can't walk up to Jesus to present his request. So he uses his voice. He makes a scene. And the funny thing is that the people tell him to be quiet. It's quite interesting that, you know, the people external to him told him, whenever he wanted to do something, whenever you want to do something good with your life, you go to somebody and say, look, you know, I want to start up a new business. And the first thing they'll tell, I'm not in this economy. You can't do that. You know, I want to go into ministry. Oh, you can't do that. You know, are you sure? And so people will always tell you and will always try and stop you from getting the things that you want in your life. Finally, he gets the attention of Jesus and is summoned by him. You know, no matter what, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what people tell you that you can or cannot do, you have to remain determined, like this man knew, that I don't care what you guys are saying. I know there's a whole lot of people passing by, but I'm going to lift my voice and I'm going to shout because I want to get what I want from the Lord. Because he determined in his mind that he wasn't going to go home empty-handed. You see, your voice needs to drown out the voice of the crowd if you are going to get what you want. But sometimes it's not the crowd's voice that we need to drown out. It's our own inner voice. It's our own inner voice that has been carrying all the disappointments, that is telling us, what's the point of doing this again? What's the point of believing again? Because you remember the last time you believed, look at what happened. And as Christ called for him to come, he did something that was very significant. As Christ called him and said, you know, and they said, oh, look, the Lord is calling you. He took the coat that he was wearing, the one thing that identified him as a beggar, and he threw it off. And he ran to the Lord. And I think Bartimaeus was saying that, I know that I've been held back by this thing. Even though I got money, even though people helped me, I want to have a clean break. I want to break free from those things that held me back from the past and move forward to what Christ is going to give to me. And I can hold on to that. So, by throwing off his coat, he's saying, I'm letting go of the low expectations that people have had over me. All the negative things that people have spoken in my life, that you will never amount to anything, you will never do anything. By throwing off the coat, he was saying, I'm letting go of that and I'm moving forward into the life that Christ has for me. You see, because God doesn't want us to identify with those things that hold us back. He wants to give us a life, and as we heard this morning, that he wants to bless us abundantly. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might live it more abundantly. And if we're not living that life, there's certain things that we might need to think of doing, of letting go, so we can begin to allow the life that God has for us to begin to shine in our lives. So what do you have to throw off that identifies you incorrectly? What are those things that you've held on to that are stopping you from moving into the life that God has for you, into the more abundant life that God has for you? What have you been carrying that's been placed on you by other people? So Bartimaeus takes his coat off. If we can have the band come back up. So Bartimaeus takes his coat off and runs to Jesus. He gets to him, you know. And now Bartimaeus has heard many positive and good things about what God can do. And the funny thing is that the Lord asked him one of the most silliest questions. He said to him, what do you want me to do for you? It'll be like, well, that's an obvious question. I'm blind. What do you think I want? You know? What do you think I want, Lord? But God was doing that to locate, you know? Woo! God was very specific, because maybe Bartimaeus would have said, Lord, is it possible that, you know, you can just wave your hand so that each day that people pass by, they will feel inclined to throw me more money? You know, maybe that's what Bartimaeus wanted. So he had to really ask him, what is it that you want me to do for you? And that's the same thing. And Bartimaeus responds and he says, Rabbi, I would like to see. You know? Because we need to be really specific about what it is that we want from the Lord. It's quite easy to have generalizations and say, oh, Lord, just bless me. You know? What does that mean, bless me? But be specific. Lord, I need you to help me to deal with this particular issue. Because what he's going to do, he's going to hone into that particular issue that you have. Note, not just coming to him and saying, Lord, just, you know, I really like it if, you know, you give me, just give me your favor. What in particular is it that you want from the Lord? And this morning, I just want us to, you know, as we finish, that if there are things that, you know, you want from the Lord this morning, you know, the things that have held you back, and you want to make a stand and say, today, Lord God, I'm gonna be determined. But not even that, I know that you are the Messiah. I know that you are the one that can help me. And I'm just going to ask, Lord God, that you help me with this particular thing. Whatever thing that you've dragged from the past, it could be hurt that you've dragged from the past. It could be unforgiveness, you know, that you've dragged from the past. And the problem you see is that with holding on to unforgiveness is that it also shackles you to the past. And you can't move on with your life, because as you're moving on, you're constantly being dragged back by that hurt, that whoever may have caused you that hurt. It could be the regrets of things not having gone the way that you expected them to go, and you're holding on to that regret. But the truth is that if you continue to hold on to it, you can't move in the freedom that God has for you.